The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Niall Hannity, John Babb and Mark Slater will be the team in the studio. Four meetings to look forward to on Tuesday. We have flat racing from Ayr alongside jumping at Chepstow and Sedgefield in the afternoon. And we'll finish today with an all-weather card on the Polytrack at Kempton Park. My name is Mark Walton and joining me firstly in the studio is Mr. Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend's action. I really am. I know we've only just passed the weekend.
Mm.
That's all I do. I just wait for the next one.
Living for the weekend.
Living for the weekend, precisely. That's what the kids say.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to what should be a special weekend at Longchamp. Really should be quality racing, quality action. And, I mean, the guys will be covering it in depth here in the William Hill Radio studio on Sunday, and it should be a really fantastic arc this year. It looks like an absolute belter, doesn't it?
It does, and it's funny you should mention that, because as always on Tuesday's Racing Podcast, we're going to start with the Monday jury, and the first several questions are surrounding Longchamp, so that should be interesting to find out your opinions here, Dave. And is this your first ever Monday jury as a pundit, DK?
I think so, yeah. I think we said we were going to just talk around the subjects, didn't we, to kind of split it.
Yeah. So good luck, listeners.
Yeah, so good luck, listeners, precisely. But I watched a lot of the race in the weekend. I saw that big trials day a couple of weeks ago, and I'm really looking forward to the arc this year. It looks a special renewal.
Okay, well, before we get underway, I'll just give you the arc betting, because like I said, the first two questions certainly are surrounding the arc, and our favour is the 2-1 favourite. Trave, who still needs to be supplemented, is 9-2. Kaizuna is 6 as is Novelist. 12-1 for Flintshire, and Intello and Ruler of the World, it's 14-1 for Al-Kazim and Leading Light, should that one be supplemented, and it's 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. So our favourite is the 2-1 favourite, and the first question is about the Japanese horse. Will our favourite finally deliver for Japan in the arc?
So unlucky last year. Just still has a few quirks, this horse, and that's the concern. And the other concern is, it's not just about finding the winner of the arc, it's about getting the price, and the price has dissipated. It's gone now, hasn't it, that price on Orfevre. He was trading at a lot bigger prior to his win over Very Nice Name. That was a terrific performance in the Qatar Prix Foy, that Group 2 contest, quickened away nicely and won with any amount in hand for Christophe Soumillon. Was sent off 4-6 favourite that day, so was obviously expected to win that easily. That was on soft ground as well. I think you'd expect the ground to, if the ground's soft, I think it's going to be in this horse's favour, without a doubt. But the price has gone. The price has gone now. I don't think you could consider backing Orfevre at 2-1 in this field, because it looks an absolutely top class renewal. I think 2-1 now is too short. Even if you think the horse is going to win, I think backing this horse at 2-1 would be a folly at this stage.
Okay, so you wouldn't be backing Orfevre 2-1.
No, I'm not saying Orfevre won. I mean, the question is, will Orfevre finally deliver for Japan in the arc? The answer is maybe. but 2-1 is too short a price.
Okay. If he's heads in the game and he doesn't, if he keeps his concentration to the line, shall we say, this year,
that's a big if, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
That's the if, and
that's the imponderable, isn't it?
That's probably not factored into the price now.
No.
The price suggests that this horse is absolutely rock solid. There's no quirks, there's no kinks. He's straightforward, which he's not. In a quality renewal like this, backing a horse like Orfevre at 2-1 would be silly, in my opinion.
Okay. But we're not talking about whether we're backing him, though. You've said maybe. Give me a yes or no. Go on. If I had to push you.
No.
No. Right, okay.
But we sit here and we know that betting on horses is all about price.
Yeah.
So cool. You couldn't bet on the horse now at 2-1.
Okay. Moving on to the second question then. Give us your 1, 2, 3 for the Arc. Well, you don't think Orfevre is going to be the one. So what do you like to finish in the first three?
I'd go with Novelist to win the race.
Okay.
Orfevre to finish second. And Trev to finish. Is it Trev or Trev?
Trev, I think.
Is it? I thought it was Trev.
I don't know.
To finish third. That would be my 1, 2, 3 at this moment in the Arc. Trev does need to be supplemented, but will be. So Novelist, Orfevre, Trev in that order.
Okay. I'm going to take you on slightly. I'm going to say...
Who said you could get involved?
Fine, I won't.
Orfevre.
I got Orfevre to win, hoping that lessons have been learned.
Yep.
I'll have Trev to finish second.
Yep.
And the other Japanese horse, Kaizuna, to finish third. So 1, 2, 3 in the main. Not original at all.
No.
But those are the three that impressed me on trials day. And I think Novelist is the one that could upset the apple cart. But I was very impressed with it. I mean, I watched each of the trials and I thought, well, that'll win the Arc. And then I saw the next one, I goes, oh, that might win the Arc. And then I saw the third one, it's like, well, any of those three will win the Arc.
Well, we had three different favourites on the same day,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes, we did, yes.
That was a tremendous, tremendous afternoon. And I'm not surprised Orfevre is favourite for the race, but I'm surprised that Orfevre is this short for the race. I really am surprised at the price. But yeah, inspired picking. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 in the betting.
I know, it's not original, but those three are the ones that have caught my eye. I mean, I'd be foolish to put up something that didn't stand out to me as much. So.
Of course.
And they probably won't finish in that order either. It'll be Trave that wins and Kaizuna second and Orfevre will throw it in again, maybe. I don't know. Interesting race anyway. Can't wait for Sunday. It should be a great day at Longchamp. And what else do you fancy at Longchamp this weekend?
I mean, nearer to the time, things will probably change, but Moonlight Cloud, it would be nice to see Moonlight Cloud in the foray. If that is to be her last race, hopefully she'll go out on a winning note. Maybe they'll go to the Breeders' Cup and try and win the Breeders' Cup mile with Moonlight Cloud. But I think she'll be an absolute standout this weekend. I think she'll probably win. So Moonlight Cloud, I think, is an exceptional filly. She's in the foray. Sandiva in the Marcel Boussac is interesting as well, in my opinion. We've got Richard Fahey's comments on the Monday Jory in the Racing Post where we take these questions from, and I'll be interested to see how she goes in the Marcel Boussac as well. So those two to keep an eye on, but I'd like to see how the markets are formed closer to the time to really put out a standout pick for Longchamp this weekend.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm intrigued to see how Juala gets on in the Abbey. Thought it was very impressive at York. She had plenty of speed on that occasion, which you need in the Abbey. And, if you win in Unthorpe, you're usually a pretty useful tool, aren't you? So I quite like the look of Juala, see how he gets on in the Abbey. So there you go.
Good. Like it.
Moving on then, which French filly, while we're on the subject of France, impressed you most at Newmarket? Was it Vorder or Miss France?
Vorder, I think.
Mm.
I've been... If she hadn't bumped into No Nay Never, the American colt, she'd still be unbeaten, Vorder. And I think it's testament to Philippe Sagorbe that she's done as well as she has this year, because this guy's a rookie trainer. He didn't expect to have this sort of success. It's almost a rags to riches story for the horse and for Philippe Sagorbe as well. She stood out. I thought she was exceptional. I don't even think the trainer thought she was a Group One filly. I think they'll go to the Breeders' Cup with her now. I was very impressed, taken with Vorder. So I'd say Vorder just edged it.
Yeah, and like I say, that No Nay Never form. I mean, he's a massive horse, and
yes,
he's unbeaten still, isn't he? So looks good form on paper.
Yeah, so I tend to disagree with the majority of the guys in the Monday Joy who think that Miss France. I really like Vorder.
Okay. What other juvenile have you been most taken with over the last few days?
It's a tough one, isn't it? A lot of people were taken by Berkshire, who was was good. but I wasn't... I thought he made heavy weather of it, personally. I think physically he'll improve over the winter, but I'm not convinced that he's unbelievable, to be honest. I think he probably will improve over the winter. I've not really seen a juvenile that's caught my eye in the last few days, to be honest.
Okay.
What about you?
I disagree with you a little bit with regards to Berkshire. You say he made heavy weather of it. I think he showed a nice attitude. He had his ears pricked, and he was very determined, which I like to see in a horse. And you know, getting the better of Mark Johnson runner that finished second somewhat. I think somewhat's turning into a nice horse as well. So I think that form looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And to outbattle a Johnson horse is an old cliche, but it's not no mean feat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe I wasn't taken by the horse because he didn't look flashy. And maybe that's my problem rather than the horse's problem. but whether or not he's got the natural ability and the speed to be a feature in top class mile races next year remains to be seen, and it will be interesting to see how he improves from this year to the next. Transition.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Do you think they'll keep him at a mile? I think he looks a bit more of a stayer.
I'd probably suggest that he's going to be stepped up in trip.
Okay, and finally, the final question of this week's Monday Jory is, could Sky Lantern shake up the QE2 if she goes there before Hong Kong?
Yeah, definitely. I think she's fantastic. Whether or not she can shake up Dawn Approach or Toronado is questionable. But I really rate her, to be honest, rate her highly. Okay. I think she travels so well into her races and can quicken as well. So yeah, I think she can.
Okay, I think it'd be quite a performance to beat Dawn Approach still. I mean,
yes,
he'll be fresh from a break now, and I think we'll see him back in a better light. It'd be interesting which Richard Hughes ends up on, won't it? If Sky Lantern goes into the race, Toronado or Sky Lantern.
I think undoubtedly Toronado. Undoubtedly Toronado. It's always difficult in the open races for the fillies to take on the colts, and that might be another case of that there. But I think the question is, could Sky Lantern shake up the QE2 if she goes there before? I think undoubtedly she can, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's the Monday Jury for another week. Thank you very much, Dave Kellner. Intriguing answers.
I mean, this arc this year is mouth-watering, isn't it? For the last... It's probably the race of the last 5 or 6 years, in my opinion. I really believe that. It is... that you've got so many horses that seemingly are coming into the race in tip-top condition. I'm looking forward to it immensely. I really am.
Yep. It's one of those where you could make a case for, well, the first 10, 12 in the betting.
Yeah.
You could make a serious case for. It's wide open, isn't it? And should be really, really interesting. Can't wait for that on Sunday. Thank you very much, Dave. And we'll now move on to Tuesday's racing.
Thank you.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Right then, so that's the Monday jury all done and dusted for another week. Then on to Tuesday's racing we go, and we're going to focus on some of Tuesday's jumps action. We're going to look at some of the races at Sedgefield, and joining me in the studio to do so is jump jockey Richie McGrath. How are you, Richie?
Yeah, good thanks. Looking forward to racing from Sedgefield. Unfortunately, my one ride of the day doesn't run, I'll be watching from the sidelines. But it's the jump season is starting to kick off up north very slowly, but it'll soon be in full flight, and we'll see how we go.
Yeah, what are we now? Is it about 2 or 3 weeks till the first meeting at Cheltenham?
Yeah, it is. It's about 3 weeks, I think. But it's just taking a bit longer every year to get going up north, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Have you got any interesting rides coming up? I mean, are you looking forward to this year? Is there anything you're particularly looking forward to riding?
Just my usual, keep my head down and keep working hard. But something will come along that's decent. But this time of year, you're excited about a lot of young horses you're riding, and horses like Stopped Out from last year that I won a few nice races on, and just horses like that, just just nothing too exciting, but hopefully the wheels stay on the whole lot of them and can have a good season.
Okay, well, good luck with that. We'll see how you get on, but let's concentrate on Tuesday's racing then. The three races at Sedgefield that we've picked out begin with the 220, which is a novices hurdle over the 2 mile, 1 furlong trip. It's the Paxton's Hurdle Series qualifier, and we've got a couple of them that bring winning form into the race in the shape of Wakanda and St. Thomas. Are those the two to start with here?
Yeah, it is an interesting sort of race. As you said, Wakanda, Sue Smith's horses seem to be in good vein of health. They seem to be running well. You know, this horse, I think, is his first run for first Sue. And it'd be interesting to see how it gets on, you know. If it's run like the rest of the yard has done, it should run a big race. Then the one that St. Thomas is an interesting one at the top, John Mackey's runner. John Mackey's flat horses seem to be running well, and Brian Hughes won in this horse at Bangor last time. It was finished second at Bangor the time before, and he just seems to be the improving kind of sort that could win a novice hurdle. He had a rating of 71 on the flat. He won off of 68 on the flat around Beverly, I think it was. But he's off of a rating of 68. He is the kind of horse that could win with a penalty, you know, so it'd be one to keep a close eye on.
Okay. Anything else in the race that catches your eye?
The inside Omid of Evelyn Slacks. You know, he'd be an interesting one. Henry Brook takes the ride. It'd be one that I'd be keeping an each way sort of eye on, as long as it's decent value. I don't know what William Hiller are going to price it up at, but if he was an each way sort of price, then he'd be a horse I'd be keeping an eye on.
Okay, so Omid could be the each way play in the race, and of the two that you mentioned, then Wakanda and St. Thomas, as a win prospect, Richie, which would you be siding
with? St. Thomas I'd go for. I'd be kind of looking for as a win option, and just a small bit on Omid, just for a bit of interest as well in the each way market.
Okay. Moving on to the next race, and this is the 250 at Sedgefield. This is another novices hurdle. This one's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and it's another Paxton's Hurdle Series qualifier. And shall we start here with the likes of Bright Abbey, who's consistent enough but struggles to get his head in front. He's hit the crossbar on a number of occasions.
Yeah, definitely. Diane Sayre's horses are flying. They seem to be in great form. Do you know who rides this horse? I don't know.
No, it's not jocked up.
But it seems to be in real good form. As the rest of Donald McCain's are not running quite up to the usual Donald McCain standard. Tim Vaughan's are very quiet. Chris Grant's horse, it's his first run. Henry Brook takes the ride, and it's first run 41 days off from the flat. So it'd be interesting to see how he looks in the paddock beforehand. I believe this 5-year-old gelding by Galileo, he wears a hood for the first ride, but he's had a decent enough rating on the flat. You know, he's won off for 77, so he'd be no mug, and it'd be interesting one to see how he gets on, and you know, he'd be one I keep a close eye on.
Okay, and with regards to Cultus King, then he comes in here in form, obviously. But with Tim Vaughan's yard being a bit quiet, would you just be waiting for something to pop up for them?
I would. Apart from just normally Tim Vaughan this time of year, they'd be firing him in left, right and centre. This horse won September the 9th, but if you look at his horses of late, all these runners today at Newton Abbott are non-runners. And that would just worry me why they're all non-runners, and just to see, I'd be keeping an eye on him today to see if, well, for the, you know, I'd be keeping an eye on him for the future to see how they come on, rather than put my money down at the minute.
Okay, so you'd take a chance on the newcomer, did you say, Harrison's Cave?
Yeah, definitely for me, Harrison's Cave would have a big chance. Bright Abbey of Diane Sayers, he's got second-itis, if you like. He's all the time finishing second, but Bright Abbey would be one you definitely have to side with. He has won in the past before. He's won novice hurdles at Wincanton. He's won handicap hurdles to Wincanton and Stradford, and he run disappointingly last time on the flat after mark 77. But if he came back to his best, he is definitely capable of winning this race, and with Diane Sayre's horses in such a rich vein of form, he'd be one I'd be trying to side with. So it'd be Bright Abbey for me.
Okay. The 435 at Sedgefield then is a handicap hurdle. This one's over 2.5 miles. And we've got Ben CPM probably going to be vying for favouritism. He's really hit form since being fitted with the visor, winning two races at Sedgefield. And obviously we see it a lot of times, horses moving to Brian Ellis and usually hit a bit of a winning streak, don't they? Is he capable of a hat-trick, do you think?
Definitely is. He's up £10 for his last win, but he'd done it really, really well around Sedgefield. Craig Gallagher takes a 7 off again, so he definitely can run a big race. He's running off a mark of 110, but he for me, the way he won last time, he won by a length and a quarter, but he won it fairly well. So for me, he'd be the horse, I think, out of Brian Ellison's yard that they all have to beat.
Okay, what will be his danger then in there, Richie?
Him not getting round, maybe. I think if he jumps round, please God, he jumps round, and it'll be fairly straightforward. 11-12, claim 7 off him. I'd be surprised. Trust Thomas, Anna Hamilton's horse could run well, but again, Tim Vaughan's horse, you've got to have a question over the stable at the minute. But for me, it's Ben CPM will turn up and will win.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Richie, if you will, if you want to spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, St. Thomas in the first, and in the second race, the 250, I will go for Bright Abbey, and in the 435, I will go for Ben CPM.
Okay, good stuff, Richie. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Tuesday. So there you go then, Richie McGrath's selections for Sedgefield on Tuesday. You'll hear all of Tuesday's racing on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. It'll be Niall Hannity, John Babb and Mark Slater in the studio. The meeting's on Tuesday. We have flat racing from Ayr, two jumpers on Tuesday afternoon, Chepstow and Sedgefield. And we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the poly track at Kempton Park. So four meetings to look forward to. You'll hear all of them on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.